What up, HLG crew? I'm excited to be with you guys. And what I'm going to do for just a little bit is I'm going to talk to you about something that is ruining all of us. And we're not doing nearly enough about it. Turn to your neighbor and say, this can be boring. I just wanted to set expectations up front. What we're going to do for just a second is we're just going to identify all the old people in the room. And those of you who are young, you can kind of make fun of them later in your classes or when you see them at lunch. When I was growing up, we had choices. And when I say we had choices, there were all kinds of individual choices. For instance, there was a choice in our house about where we were going to put the phone. There was a phone. I know that sounds crazy to you. And it was attached to the wall in the kitchen. And you had a choice about how long the cord was going to be. And you could get like the 10-foot cord. You could get like the 60-foot telephone cord, which meant that when your mom was on the phone vacuuming in the other end of the house, you'd have to, when you were in your part of the house, have to step over the cord where mom was talking on the phone. And there were rich people. They had something called call waiting. I know this doesn't sound like, it doesn't make any sense to you, but you'd be on the phone and you'd hear a beep, beep, and you'd tap the receiver and you'd be like, hold on a second, we're rich. I have another phone call coming in and I know about it. And then you would click the phone and be like, hello, sorry, my time's super important because I'm already on the other line. Speak quickly. And then, this is going to sound nuts to some of you, there were some people, we weren't one of them, who had two phones in their house. It was a birthday present for a teenage girl to get her own phone line. Do you know how important this was? If you want to call Caroline Myrody, it's 372-7631. Nikki Folta, 0585. I knew all the junior, don't call those numbers. I don't know who has them now. But if you were a good-looking junior high girl when I was in junior high, I knew if you had your own phone line, it was right here. I kid you not. I know those two girls' phone numbers and my wife's phone number. Those are the only three phone numbers that are in my head. There was a conversation about whether or not you were going to get a TV in your house and which rooms were going to get the TV. There was a conversation about whether or not you were going to get cable or satellite or nothing. We were a nothing family. So when I went on vacation, you know what I looked forward to? Cable. I looked forward to options. Like when you click the remote, and it actually had channels to change. We grew up on whatever came through on the antenna. There was a conversation about what kind of gaming device you were going to get. Were you going to get the, you know, PlayStation, a Sega Genesis? This is before Xbox came out. There were individualized conversations. Then the internet came out. Now, this is going to be fun for those of you. And this was back when the internet had a sound. Some of you don't know that the internet used to make noises. And you couldn't sneak on to your computer late at night because the internet had like a wolf sound. Like it had like its own call, like, oh, someone's getting on the internet. Now, just listen, those of you who are young, those of you who remember what the sound was, on the count of three, I want you to make it. To tell them what the internet used to sound like. You guys ready? One, two, three. That's real. They all did it. That was the sound of the internet. You'd be in your house and you'd go, let's go onto the interweb. And then one, two, three. What happened in your house? Makes no sense. But that's how I grew up. But fast forward into the future. When you go to AT&T US Cellular and you pick up a phone, you are getting all of those things. You are getting the internet, a gaming device, a newspaper, satellite TV, cable news, you get it all. And the sad truth is, our minds were not made for it. I'm going to do something that has probably never been done here before. And something that had never been done at my church when I did it. I'm going to recommend you read a book by an atheist. The book is Anxious Generation. The author is Jonathan Hyde. I cannot emphasize, you must read this book. Now, because he's an atheist, he believes some really stupid things, as atheists do. Like, for instance, when you're reading the book, I'm just going to tell you up front, you're like, I can't believe Clayton recommended this book. He has like a part in his atheist book about the anxious generation, about how, you know, you should have a conversation about how much porn you should consume. I want you to know up front, I think the correct percentage of porn that you should consume is 0%. So just so you know. But it's interesting that an atheist devotes an entire chapter to the fact that we are underdeveloped spiritually. And that his research proves that the thing that you all have in your pocket, and some of you are deciding whether or not you're going to spend time on while I'm talking, is a thing that is actually robbing you of your future, robbing you of your peace, robbing you of your purpose, and destroying you spiritually. Let's get into it. The reason why this book is going to become so important over time is because you and I are now living in a world that just did not exist 30 years ago. And Jesus had this to say about navigating, leading, and living through change in Matthew chapter 9. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. In other words, if we're Christians, as we're navigating the new path of technology, it will not simply work with our strategies of the past. The newness of technology will burst our old lifestyle techniques. Too much has changed, and hear me, too much is at stake. Jesus gives us clear instructions on how we're to live through the power of the Holy Spirit delivered unto Solomon, the wisest man born of natural birth, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. If we are going to be Christians who are salt and light into our world and into our region, we must be people who guard our hearts. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. There is way too much at stake for us not to navigate the issue of technology wisely. The number one contention that Dr. Jonathan Haidt raises in his book, Anxious Generation, is that kids are being raised overprotected in the real world and underprotected in the digital world. Which means the vast majority of you grew up where when I was giving you illustrations, none of it made sense. And if you want to know why you are not experiencing the same amount of life and peace that your parents talked about them having, it's because you grew up in a completely different world. You grew up on Mars compared to what they grew up on when it comes to technology. And you need to know what is happening to you, what is happening to your friends, and what will happen to your future spouse, what will happen to your future kids. College kids, hear me. You need to know what's happening to you, which is why you need to read the book. You need to know what kind of world you're entering into. Plan on having kids? You need to start thinking about what decisions you're going to make regarding technology as it pertains to your kids. If you're in this room and you're a parent, you need to start making adjustments, and you need to make adjustments quickly. If you happen to be a grandparent, you need to know what is happening to your kids and to your grandkids. Everybody sees it. Pundits don't stop talking about it. We all know that there is something wrong in us, in our kids, and in our world. And almost everybody will agree that the devices are affecting us. However, until I read this book, I didn't realize how bad it had become. Like I said, this is going to be boring. Figure 1-6. Can you put that first picture up? So on your screen, this little light gray purple area, this is going to show up, this little bar graph is going to show up multiple times over the next couple of slides. And this graph is what has happened since the introduction of the smartphone and social media. So this represents the time in human history since the introduction of your iPhone, and if you, you know, don't have an iPhone, but you want one, whatever you have, okay? This is when this is all taking place. And I want you to notice what has happened. Let's go to the next slide. Since the introduction of smartphones and social media, depression among teens has skyrocketed. That's why news organizations like to zoom in on the fact that college kids are woke, broke, and need a safe space. And yet nothing bad has actually happened to you. You've had to endure one of the like easiest times on planet Earth to be alive, with the exception of one thing, the phone in your pocket. Look at the next slide. Almost every category is up since the introduction of the smartphone. Schizophrenia is up 67%. Substance abuse is up 33%. Anorexia is up 100%. Bipolar disorder is up 57%. ADHD is up 72%. Depression is up 106%. Anxiety is up 134%. I mean, at this point in time, I could make the case that social media is worse for you than a pack of cigarettes. And yet, when your kid turns 13, what do we give them? We give them this. Every single one of you, you walked in here with one of these. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have them. I just need you to know what's at stake when you have one. You might be going, man, this is just our kids. Nope. Look at the next figure. 18 through 25, jacked up. 26 through 34, jacked up. Ages 35 through 49, jacked up. In fact, the only group of people who aren't jacked up are the over 50 crowd. Raise your hand. If you need help remembering your password, we'll help you out after the thing's over. You're not special, you're stupid. You just can't remember how to get into all your stuff. We know you got a Facebook account. So just think about this. Hear me just for just a second. Let me step on like toes. Let me say something to you. You're jacked up. And your parents are jacked up. It's hard to not be a jacked up kid when you're being raised by jacked up parents. And it means that you are going to raise up jacked up kids because they are going to be raised by jacked up parents. And you're going to stand before a group of people and spend way too much money on a wedding. And you're going to wonder why your spouse is jacked up. It's because she was raised up by jacked up people. And she had a device in her pocket that jacked her up. You need to know what you're getting into. How bad is it? Let me just say something for all the girl dads out there, or guys who will eventually want to have a girl dad, or a guy who's dating a girl. Social media might be the very worst thing that could ever happen to you if you're a female. Go to the next slide. This is emergency room visits for self-harm. When did it skyrocket? If this isn't bad enough, look at what it's doing to suicide rates. Go to the next one, please. We are way too connected in a virtual world where we're trying to measure up. Every time you hop on social media, you are bombarded with your social standing. How many followers do you have compared to the other people you hang out with? How many likes did you get compared to everybody else? How nice was your vacation compared to somebody else's? You could go on a nice vacation, but if it doesn't look just right, now you feel poor. With the addition of Life 360, this is a whole new thing that people are having to navigate. Now we know where everybody is. Well, when I was growing up and my friends hung out without me, you know what I did? Hung out with myself at my house. And I didn't know that I didn't get invited. But now you let all your friends see where you're at, and it's kind of nice to know that you've got people checking in on you. The problem is, what happens when a whole bunch of dots show up at a house and your dot is still at your house? So how do people combat that? Well, they just turn off their sharing. So all of a sudden, you see a bunch of friends on your Life 360 disappear. It's totally okay for people to hang out without you. You just never had to have the burden of knowing that you weren't invited. And you are constantly connected, and constantly shown through the view of the world how you measure up. And since we're constantly inundated by how the world sees us, we lose our ability to understand how God sees us. And because we were not made for the world's approval, but for God's approval, when we experience the weight of that, we become depressed, anxious. We start cutting ourselves to get attention or to feel. We start thinking that our world and our life has no purpose, and so we decide to look for the early off-ramp. Go to the next slide. There are now reports of girls undergoing plastic surgery to make their real bodies look like their filters. So you're a girl, you're getting ready to post a picture, and you take the picture, and then you look at like the enhance button, and you go, ooh, you know what? I didn't have time to put my makeup on today. Enhance. You know what? I'm not feeling all that pretty today. I'm just gonna make things a little bit better. Pretty soon you start liking the filtered version of you than the real version of you. And so now you have built up followers and people who are saying all kinds of nice things about you, complimenting you right and left. The problem is you know that they've not seen you. And then girls start going, I don't even want to go out in public because the persona that I've created online does not match the real person I am. And then you start doing the math on how do I make the one that God created look like the one that I created. And somehow your value is in how you present yourself to the world instead of your value being in the one who came into our world. And again, you've got one in your pocket. And you participate in it every single day. And if you are not careful, it will rob you of who God created you to be. You were made for more. Here is the worst part. Social media companies know that they are doing this. When this first came out, okay, this is going to sound crazy to you, okay? When Facebook came out, you couldn't be on Facebook. You had to be invited. What? Oh, yeah. There was an In-N-Out Club. And the only way you could get invited is once your school was approved. And so you had, the only way you could log on is if you had a .edu email address. So I went to Ozark Christian College. So University of Iowa, all those people are on Facebook. And University of Missouri, all those people are on Facebook, but we had to wait. When's it coming to Ozark Christian College? There was a time when all of a sudden they allowed you all in. And then you get in. And you had virtual friends, which you'd never had virtual friends before because you had friends. And then, listen, I don't know if it's still the case. I haven't been on it in forever. I remember when I maxed out how many friends I could have on Facebook. I crossed the 5,000 mark. I don't want to make a big deal out of it. I had to create a public profile. I don't have the password to either one of those. If you reach out to Matt, if you ever get something from me like a poke or a like, Maddie, she's in there. She's figured it out because I don't spend any time there. But I remember going through it and be like, oh my goodness, I've got more friends than my friends. And I was like, this sounds really weird because I don't even like half the people I'm friends with. We didn't know what we were getting into, but the social media companies did. Francis Hagen, in his expose on called the Facebook Files, revealed that not only do the social media companies know that they are doing this to you, all the things I've previously mentioned, they are trying to get better at it. One training focused on the neuroscience of teenagers. Listen carefully. And it explained the points of vulnerability during the maturation process of a teen and exactly how app designers can exploit them to keep them on the app as long as possible. Here is the next slide. So girls, for just a second, can I be candid with you? This is what Facebook and Instagram did to you. Fathers of daughters, for just a second, this is what Instagram and Facebook did to your daughter. They put her picture in the center of a presentation. While she's going through her teenage years, her body is changing. She's experiencing things she's never experienced before. The chemical balance and the pH balance on her face is fighting against her. And every day she's learning how to put on makeup to cover up zits that weren't there the night before and finding out that certain makeup she uses makes it worse. She's trying to find her place in this world. Her clothes don't fit the way they used to. She's longing for acceptance. And they put her picture in the middle of a meeting and said, "How do we exploit her vulnerability? And how do we keep her there as long as possible?" And then when we send her to the ER, her dad foots the bill. How do they do this? They do it using the hook model, figure 5-3. That's the next one. Here's how this works. It begins with a trigger. The external notification pulls you away from reality. Every single one of you, you have notifications on your phone. They pop, they go off, they hit you. The action is they try to get you to open up the app. Then the variable reward. There's a comment on one of your posts, a like, a feeling that draws you further into the app. Then you start making an investment. I'm gonna create a profile. I'm gonna add pictures. I'm gonna create posts. I'm gonna pick people to follow. Then the trigger moves from being external to being internal, where you want to know what is happening on the app, and so you open it all the time. When you go to the bathroom now, you're on it. When you're in a, pay attention to this line, a fast food line to get fast food, going through the line is so slow, you pull out your phone. How many of you have been honked at? How many of you have honked? Okay, now we're telling the truth. Okay. We pull at the four-way stops. We're at stoplights. You're sitting at your desk working on class, and you don't even know it. Apple's actually put in a thing that shows you how many pickups you have a day. This is all we do. And you wonder why your life is void of meaning and happiness? It's because you're trying to find it in a place that God never designed it. The most critical part of this step is the variable reward. Is because that is how they created addiction. This was one of the key discoveries of behavioral psychology. It is best not to reward a behavior every time. If you reward an animal on a variable ratio schedule, somewhere between 1 out of 10 times on average, sometimes fewer, sometimes more, you create the strongest and most persistent behavior. This is what it looks like. You put a rat in a cage where it has learned to get food by pressing the bar. You put it in the cage, it runs over to the bar, and it expects food, but there's no food, so it... And then all of a sudden, food comes out. Then you know what it does? And food comes out. And food comes out. Now the rat knows that food will eventually come out. It just does not know how long until it comes out. So it just keeps tapping. The algorithm knows you better than you know you. And have you ever wondered why you keep scrolling because the video you get is not the video you want to watch? It's because you are a rat in a cage. And so you will just keep swiping until you get the one you want. And you didn't even know it was happening. This does not dampen our desire for videos or social media or the next thing. It enhances it because we know at some point in time we're going to see the thing that we didn't know that we wanted to see, but we are so glad we saw it. And so you can spend an entire day watching stuff online and not remember a thing that you watched. That's why you get sucked into shorts and stories. The problem is, there's no off-ramp to a bottomless feed. So you can scroll as long as you want. How bad is it? I'll tell you. Tech company executives are hiring attention specialists to create algorithms to keep us scrolling while at the same time sending their kids to schools that do not allow social media and technology and not allowing their kids to have these phones. They know that it is ruining kids. So they will ruin you and your kids to fund the lifestyle and protection of their kids. Proverbs says in chapter 22, verse 6, start off a child in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. The word start off or train, depending on what version you use, is trying to capture the word hanak. Turn to your neighbor and say hanak. It means to dedicate, to narrow the focus. God, as our Heavenly Father, teaches his people how to hanak themselves and how to hanak their family in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Question. Doesn't it seem to you that social media companies learned how to hanak you by running a kingdom play on a satanic environment? Because what is the thing that you are impressing upon yourselves? What is the thing that you do when you get up, when you sit at home, when you drive along the road, when you lie down at night? What is the first thing you reach for in the morning? You have been hanaked, but not to him. Social media companies and smartphones are robbing you of the precious time you have right now when you are in the training phase before you go into the launching phase of life. And I know there's, every time I do this, there's like a group of people inside their head, they're going, man, that's so good. It's just not going to happen to me. Okay, maybe, but I wouldn't risk it. Have you guys ever watched like those videos of people who got like, you know, a pet monkey? Have you ever seen those? Looks super cute. How many of you guys watch Tiger King? Like you guys decide to get your own pet tiger? Or you hear about the guy who has a pet bear? Yeah. And then you find out that the bear ate him and you didn't feel bad? Like I never feel bad for the people that get eaten by their pet tiger. There's a guy that I like to watch sometimes with my boys. He has a bunch of venomous snakes. And he got bit, and now he has a weird hand. I don't feel bad. You wanna know why? Because it's a venomous snake. Oh, you got bit by what? Oh, your tiger? Yeah, it'll do that. Like, I don't feel bad. You put that thing in your house? My dad's a veterinarian. And a pretty good one. And so people would come in from different parts of the world to have my dad work on their animals. And one day, the Ringling brothers from the Ringling Circus brought a cougar to my dad. And it was a baby cougar, and they were taking the claws off of it. And so my dad, when I got home from school, let me sit in the chair, and I got a hold. Yeah, you haven't held a baby cougar. But I have. I don't want to brag. It's something I could post about, but I'm not posting. And I got to hold the baby cougar. And then do you know what happened after we took the picture with the baby cougar? The cougar went home with the crazy people. So that way, when it gets big and hungry, it can eat them, not me. I mean, if you look at me, I am like McDonald's for a cougar. I am a Big Mac with special sauce. I'm the number one. I'm fat and I'm slow, which is like a cougar's happy place. Like, I don't even, I can just walk to get to this guy. Do you want to know why there's not a cougar in my house? Because I don't want my family eaten by it. And when you are allowing social media to stay in your life unchecked, uncaged, you are flirting with the very thing that could devour you. Over the next 10 years of your life, if you're a good kind of person, studies just came out, you're going to spend this much time sleeping over the next 10 hours of your life. This one right here. Hope this thing doesn't break. If it does, we'll buy you a new one. Got glass and about 100 pounds of pennies. Okay? Your life is going to be comprised of 1,581 hours of sleep. You're going to spend one-third of the next 10 years of your life sleeping. How many of you guys, college, one of my favorite things about college was naps. Do you guys take naps here? Raise your hand if you're a nap taker. Enjoy it, because the frickin' disappears, okay? Two things disappear when you graduate: summer break and naps. All you do is look forward to retirement. Like, when do I get to sleep again? I can't wait. And just about the time your kids get out of the house, your body starts going, let's wake up at 4. Literally, your life, just up front, is doing this. You're at the top, okay? It goes down. Here's how else you're gonna spend your time. You're going to spend one-fourth of your life over the next 10 years going to work. One-third you're going to spend sleeping. One-fourth you're going to spend working. This is all the time you have left over the next 10 years of your life. Not much here. And of this, this is how much time you will spend on your phone. Over half of it. Over half of your remaining life after you sleep and go to work will be spent here. Some of you guys might be going, oh, this will be great. I'll just do my phone time while I'm at work. Smart. But you better be really good at getting resumes out, because you're going to be poor, because nobody will want you. Because if you were to hire you to work for you, you wouldn't keep you. You would fire you, because you're on your phone all the time. So unless you plan on making a lot of money or marrying somebody who makes a lot of money, I would get rid of this, because this is all the time that you could use to actually get good at your job so somebody wants to pay you more to keep you. What's this guy? This little guy right here. This is the average amount of time you will spend going to church over the next 10 years. Let me ask you a question. Which one is going to disciple you? Which one is going to change you? Which one is going to lead you? Which one is going to make you a better husband? Which one's going to make you a better father, a better mother, a better wife? Which one's going to shape your identity? Which one's going to give you purpose and meaning and significance? Which one's going to answer all the big burning questions in your life? I really do not want to break this. We hear people say all the time, I just don't know enough about God to make a difference. Yeah. You want to know why you don't know enough about God? I'll tell you. Because you've been doing this. Here's a prediction. Until you figure out how to get a hold of this, and until you figure out how to change this, you have very little to look forward to. You are on the pain train, and there is no way off. I'm coming to you today from your future, begging you to change course. What are four things I think you should really consider doing? Number one, I think you should read the book. You should hear it from him, not from me. He's a doctor. I'm not. I wasn't a school guy. Two, I think you should limit phone usage. Like, you should literally think about making real friends, having real conversations. Three, this is going to sound scary to you. Delete social media for the next 21 days. And by social media, YouTube, all of it. Check this out. If you do it, you will get healthier. Your life will be more enjoyable, but not for 11 days. The first 11 days are going to suck. I don't know if you guys say that. I apologize if you don't say that word, but it is. You want to know why? Because you're addicted. But Clayton, my birthday is in the next 21 days. Oh, well, on behalf of your social media community, happy birthday to you. But there's going to be some cool news that's going to happen. Yeah, it's going to be breaking news. There's going to be an asteroid, and you can't stop it. Nobody important is calling you to solve any of the problems in the world. So you don't need to know about them. You are not fixing the government shutdown. You're not fixing Wall Street. You can barely get to class on time. You don't need to know those things. You're wearing the same underwear you wore 2 days ago. And the only person who knows it are the two people sitting next to you. Google how to do laundry on a budget. Figure it out. You don't need it. You don't need it. But Clayton, like, how am I going to tell all my friends that I like them? Watch. I like you. You look great. Thanks for being here today. Hey, guys, that's how you pick up girls. You look great today. You look nice. I haven't been on my phone much, and I've been getting raises at work. I got money to spend. You want to go someplace to eat? I'm buying. Oh, y'all pick of the litter now. Because she's on her phone, and her dad just cut her off. So now you're like, we got Big Macs for everybody. You'd be like Solomon, just picking from among the stables. Okay, I should stop. Okay, I was wrong, and I apologize. That's on me. They didn't know. Nobody knew I was going to say that with the Holy Spirit, and he didn't stop it. Okay? So, pray more. Genuinely, you should do this. You should pick a night and circle up with all your friends and have a no technology night. You should put your phones in a drawer, and you should just do something where you look at people and laugh with people. Parents who are in the room, just a quick little gift. So I do this at home. So like one of my big things is you got to lead by example. So we do this at my house. Can I just tell you, guess what my 12 and 14-year-old's favorite night in the house is? The no technology night. My kid just got on a basketball team, and we need a way to track him because he's a raccoon. And so we got him a phone. 3 days into it, my son was in tears. He goes, Dad, I just spent all afternoon on my phone, and that is not the life I want to live. It is that good. Some of you are anxious right now about going 21 days. I did it. It was awesome. I'm barely back on it. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Today, before I came here, I was dealing with a guy who has to talk to a person who works somewhere in our organization for putting stupid stuff up on social media. It's going to be really hard for her to get a job and keep a job if she keeps being stupid on social media. Guess what? If someone's trying to look you up online and there's nothing there. You don't know how stupid I am because I didn't post about it. When? Why am I telling you all this? Because I genuinely believe to the core of my being that you were made for more. God did not send his son Jesus to die on the cross just to save you from hell, but to save you to him. He came to give you a life that is full and abundant. And no part of that included scrolling, swiping, posting, and gaming. He did not send his Holy Spirit into the life of a believer to empower them to scroll and swipe and post and like. He sent part of himself into you to be a part of his grand and glorious mission. And how on earth would we give up what he has given us for a night and a life of nothing? Heavenly Father, thank you for this crew. Thank you for the time we get to spend together. God, it's crazy to think that I have to say this, but would you give us the power of your Holy Spirit to overcome our addiction to our devices? In your name I pray, amen.